52 years ago, Don Whaley stepped on the Campbell College campus for the fall semester in 1973. By the time he graduated 4 years later, he had played a major role for a national powerhouse Fighting Camel basketball squad. He helped lead the Camels to 71 victories over his final three seasons, a runner-up finish in the 1977 NAIA National Tournament, and was named All-American. But Don didn't arrive at Campbell as a one-sport star. He lettered in four sports at South Lenoir High School, and after graduating from Campbell, had NBA and NFL tryouts. It's no surprise that Don is one of five inductees associated with the 1977 runner-up squad that are enshrined in the Campbell Athletics Hall of Fame. My name is Stan Cole, class of 1987, and this is our next installment of Tales from the Creek, where we visit with the people who've made this place special over the years. I'm delighted to be joined today by Don Whaley. Welcome to Tales from the Creek, Don, and thanks for taking the time to visit with us.
You bet.
Don, let's just start out at the beginning. How did all of this get started? Tell us about where you grew up and what your daily, what your life looked like.
Well, I'm a Jones County boy with two brothers and two sisters. We grew up around Doc Killingsworth's store and Leslie White's store, and I went to Jones Elementary School through the eighth grade. After that, we moved to Lenoir County, and I started my ninth year at South Lenoir. As you said, I lettered in four sports my junior year, and believe it or not, I ran one track meet my 4 years in high school and made all-conference. Not too many people can say they ran one track meet and made all-conference. Now, what happened was, all conference is determined by the top three finishers in each event. Well, I had never ran a mile before in any event, so I had a chance to win. I could have won it, and I pulled right up beside my best buddy, and I let him win. And but I ran like a 4:45 mile my first time ever.
So that was your first time competing in the mile, and you broke 5 minutes. As a high school junior, and you'd never trained for it.
Never trained for it. Now, our baseball coach, Bobby Davis, made us feel like we were track because he ran us around the football field over and over and over again. So we were in pretty good shape. And the next year, I was going to run again, but we had a conflict with a baseball team. So the conference track meet and a baseball game were at the same time. So I didn't get a chance to run my senior year.
So when did you start playing organized sports? Do you recall?
Yes. Jones County had no organized sports through my 8 years there. I didn't even pick up a basketball on court, really, until the ninth year at South Lenoir. And so I played my football my freshman year at South Lenoir. That was the first year that they consolidated. And so then I played basketball and baseball and track fill in there one my junior year.
So I think everybody thinks about everybody starting out playing rec sports or grade school or little league or things like that.
None of that.
None of that. And you know, and my earliest memories were, you know, whatever ball was in season, I was going to go grab it after school and run out in the yard and hope somebody walking home from school would come play. And I was, you know, I was Burt Jones of the Baltimore Colts in the yard, and then I was Pete Maravich on the driveway.
I was Pete Maravich.
Okay. And then I was whoever, you know, Willie Stargell or whoever in the backyard playing baseball season. So you were Pete Maravich in the driveway.
Right. Well, we weren't in the driveway. We lived on a farm.
Okay.
And so we had an outside wooden goal. And like I said, I had two brothers and two sisters, and I'm probably the worst of five.
Oh, wow.
Athletic-wise, they were all gifted, really gifted. And so John, who's my next closest in age brother, would take me outside and school me. And that's really how I learned how to play, was playing against somebody bigger, faster, you know, and quicker than I was. And he helped me a lot, really.
How is that, you know, growing up in a family and you've got, does that stoke a competitive nature in you?
It sure does. And you got to remember now, we were on a farm.
5:30
in the morning, we're in the tobacco field or the cornfield or somewhere. And at dark, we might get a half hour of light before dark. And so we'd get that 30 minutes in to go shoot hoops or play some baseball or whatever. So, yeah, it was very competitive.
One of your Campbell classmates, Wanda Watkins, shared her stories with me of growing up. She didn't live on a farm, but her two uncles beside her did. And she said all summer long, whatever it needed, she started picking cotton and all this. And really, for her, it helped her develop a work ethic and you know, knowing how that, I guess when you got to play something, you took full advantage, knowing that that wasn't going to be the bulk of your day.
And one other thing is, I played outside until the ninth grade. I never played on a wooden court until my first year at South Lenoir. So, you know, it was really tough. I had a lot of catching up to do when I got there with players. And, you know, they started Little League. I never played any Little League or couldn't from Jones County. You had none at that time. So, you know, it took me a while to get used to playing on a wooden court after being outside so long.
So, Don, were you introduced into the sports? What position did you play in football, basketball, baseball?
In football, I was wide receiver. Mm-hmm. And in basketball, I played guard. Mm-hmm. In baseball, I played second base, believe it or not. And later on, when I played a lot of competitive softball, I moved to the outfield. I was all world in softball 5 years. We won a Class A, a Class B, a Class C, and a Class D world championship. And with the outfield, we played in California twice, played in Oklahoma, played Wichita, Kansas, New York, Sydney, New York, where Don Laird's from. Mm-hmm. Don Laird, another Hall of Famer at Campbell. And all up and down the East Coast, Florida, Virginia, of course, Tennessee. Everywhere. We played everywhere in softball.
So I'm curious for this because, you know, you and I are closer in age than a lot of the younger folks, but we, you know, in this day and age, you see all, it seems like there's patterns that lead to a college scholarship or a professional career or something. You know, kids start playing travel baseball at 8 years old and, you know, and they're, you know, like Bryce Harper might've been and then becomes the first pick in the draft at some point in time. Who were some of the folks there at South Lenoir or during your high school career that helped you get to go from a guy who'd never played indoor basketball to a fella that goes and 8 years later is, you know, in the final two teams left standing at the NAIA National Championship?
Tom Salter, who was our principal in South Lenoir, was a very good basketball player. And I remember my first year there, we went to the student faculty game, and he was left-handed and could shoot the eyes out of a basketball. And I said, dang, I wish I could be like that one day. And then, of course, Bobby Davis, who was our basketball coach, is who really got me interested. They were a big influence on me.
That was such a great time, you know, the early 70s, late 60s, early 70s, the ACC was king in this area, the Tobacco Road, and you know, you had Charlie Scott and then later on David Thompson at State, and Charlie Scott, of course, with UNC and Bobby Jones and stuff. Were there any, you know, and we would get, you know, one game over the air on midweek and maybe one on Saturday. Were there any players that you kind of looked at and saw, man, I kind of like the way those guys play?
Well, first off, the team that I saw back then, a powerhouse, was John Wooten and UCLA.
Absolutely.
They were dominating college basketball at that time. Now, the player that I really liked was David Thompson. Mm-hmm. When he was at North Carolina State, and they had Sidney Lowe later on down the line.
Right.
But David Thompson could play. He did it all. I mean, he could, you know, he could play guard. He could play center. He was kind of like Magic Johnson. He could play any position on court because he was so athletic.
You're not the only one, because at that time it was amazing, the teams that Coach Norm Sloan had at State with Thompson and Monty Tau and Tommy Burleson and Tim Stoddard and Morris Rivers and Phil Spence and that whole bunch. They were, you know, without professional basketball, with the exception of the Carolina Cougars for 5 years, you know, those ACC players really were the stars that we saw. And then, of course, we'd get a national game that would have Notre Dame or UCLA, and with Bill Walton down at UCLA, or Austin Carr or Kelly Trepucca later on at Notre Dame, and those names. But, you know, when you were at the school and you were saying, I can throw it up there in alley-oop for me, I'll be like David Thompson. And I was the guy that was throwing it. I wasn't the guy laying it in for that. Don, you're from Lenoir County, where, you know, basketball associated with Kinston, North Carolina, has been phenomenal. And when you were coming up, there was a guy at Kinston High School that was mighty, mighty good, ended up playing 11 years in the NBA and took UNC Charlotte to the Final Four. Tell us a little bit about, when Cedric Cornbread Maxwell was coming through here at Kinston.
One of my best friends after college was Chris Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Thompson was on Cedric Maxwell's team. Chris was only 5'10 and led the team in rebounds.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Now, the year that both of us were seniors, Cedric and myself, I led the area in scoring. I averaged about 23 a game. I think Cedric averaged like 17. But he was really good and got there quick because, if I'm not mistaken, he was cut his sophomore year. And I think he said same thing happened to Michael Jordan. He was cut a year, and Cedric grew about 4 inches after they cut him, though. And so his junior and senior year at Kinston, he was really good, really good.
One of the things I remember, and I can dial the Wayback Machine, because 77, I would have been 13 at that time, and in watching the NCAA tournament and being very, you know, always intrigued with the underdog. But, you know, when UNC Charlotte is going through, and people expected Carolina and some others, and Marquette, which was ultimately the champion that year. But no one had ever seen, that I could recall, the fact that the center on the team, Cedric Maxwell, standing 6'8", 6'9", whatever it was, he would bring the ball up the court against pressure. And I didn't even know that. Maybe that growth spurt helped him. Maybe he had played on the perimeter before.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure it did. Yes.
Three sports in high school plus a mile. There have probably been plenty of people that would have liked to train you as a track athlete. Don, what was it that made you ultimately choose basketball to pursue?
Probably basketball was my least athletic sport, I would think, but I just loved it. I loved watching it on TV. I loved playing it once we got competitive. And now how I got to Campbell is probably one of your next questions.
Absolutely.
Believe it or not, we had an athletic banquet at King's Restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And who the speaker was, I had no idea until we got to the banquet. Well, it just so happens I win the A.R. Munn Award for the best athlete my senior year at South Lenoir. And lo and behold, the speaker at our banquet was Danny Roberts.
How about that?
And I hadn't had received any letters from him or any indication that he wanted to recruit me. But as he was at the banquet, he walked over and he said, "I'd like for you to try out for our team." He didn't offer me a scholarship. He said, "I'd like for you to try out." And I don't know why, but I said, okay, because I was looking at UNC Wilmington, East Carolina, and a few other schools. But so I went down to try out, and my first year, I was going to get redshirted because we had plenty of people. And I think redshirt really just had started because, I don't know if you remember, but there were years there where freshman year, you couldn't play.
Correct.
And so I was going to get redshirted because I turned my ankle in practice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first couple of games, I was redshirted. And after that, we lost a couple of players, so he put me on the varsity squad. And I played right much my freshman year. But my sophomore year, I kind of did like Cedric and a few more. I kind of blossomed a little bit, I guess. And I started playing a lot better and was in the starting lineup my sophomore, junior, and senior year.
Don, were there any players or any upperclassmen that kind of showed you the ropes? Do you recall when you first got to Campbell?
Marshall Lovett.
Mm-hmm.
Marshall Lovett was quick, and I was slow. And I had to guard him in practice. And I said, "You're either going to get better or you're going to go home." And so, yeah, Marshall pushed me a lot. And, of course, Sam was one of my best friends. But Sam was an upperclassman.
Mm-hmm.
We were the same year. And Sam was already good. Sam was really good. I'm sure he's told you he was good. But Sam was an excellent player, and Marshall was too. But we had several players that were really good. We didn't really have, other than Sam, the rest of us were about even, I would say. Mm-hmm. And I just got lucky and got with a good team.
I was fortunate enough when we inducted Marshall into the Hall of Fame in a special ceremony when he came back to Fayetteville in 2022 for his high school reunion. And, Marshall lost his eyesight a number of years ago, but they kept it a secret from him, the organizers there at the high school. And we were able to bring Coach Roberts down and surprise Marshall and let him and Coach Roberts visit the whole time. And some other folks, Charlie Babb, who worked at the basketball camp for a number of years, was one of Marshall's high school coaches. And that was so wonderful to hear everyone's stories about Marshall Lovett. And he was a wideout in football season. And he also ran track as well.
I can see why. He was very quick, very good athlete.
Tell us a little bit about Danny, about Coach Roberts, Don.
Danny Roberts was a friend, a mentor, like a father. I mean, when it came to basketball, it was business now. It was all business. Mm-hmm. It was his way or the highway, but I had no complaints. I would not change a thing in my college career because he was a very good coach, and he would work with him, but he'd tell you like it was. You know, it's got to be this way, or we'll get someone else. And he worked you hard. He expected you to work hard because he worked hard. And it was just enjoyable to be around him.
I've heard so many stories about how, later, especially later in his life after he'd retired, and he would talk to, so he talked to Marshall every week on the phone, and they made it a point to do that and to visit and to catch up. And that so many said that, Fred Whitfield shared the story with me about the fact that he would babysit for the kids for a little change on the side, and grew up so close to Laura and the other Roberts kids with that. I hope that we still have that feeling in college athletics at times, but that just seems quite unique and quite special.
Yes, it was very special. And his kids and I were very close, and I was a little bit older than they were, but yes, we had good times together.
Don, tell us, when you look back on your time at Campbell on and off the floor, what are a few of your best memories?
Basketball, my freshman, sophomore, and junior year, you couldn't dunk the basketball.
Mm-hmm.
They brought it back my senior year, which was 77. And I led the team in dunks. Believe it or not, I'm 6'2 and a half, 6'3. But one of my fondest memories was we were playing Pembroke State, and the game was pretty close. And I had a fast break going, and Donnie Laird threw me the ball, and I went up to dunk it. And a guy tried to block it, and I dunked it over him, and really brought the house down and got fouled. And those 3 points made us win the game. I'd had a terrible game. I was really mad. Probably why I threw it down so hard. But they said they thought I was going to break the backboard. I threw it down so hard. But another game was our first game in the NAIA championship. We were playing Lincoln Memorial.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they were seeded fourth. So what do you think that means if there's 32 teams in it?
Yeah, I can do the math.
29.
I can do the math.
Oh, I don't think they had a seed past 16, but I looked at it like we were 29th. And, of course, they were big favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got like 28 points and dunked a couple. And that was one of my fondest memories of the tournament. But that was a lot of them. Like you said, we won 70-some games in 3 years. So we had a lot of bright spots.
Don, I don't know that folks can really understand. We know that the hoopla around March Madness and the Division I men's and women's basketball tournaments now and the televised, but if people can't recall. You know, Kemper Arena in Kansas City is where the event was held. And as a matter of fact, our broadcaster at Campbell and associate AD, Chris Haymeyer, his folks always got tickets to the NAIA National Tournament. They lived in Columbia, but they would go. They were huge basketball fans. They've since moved to Buies Creek and they're season ticket holders. They never miss a game. But the folks can't remember it. For the opening ceremony, they've got all the players from all 32 teams. Y'all are all lined up out there on the floor. That's just an amazing, and the arena's packed. That's just an incredible experience. That had to be something coming from Little Buies Creek, going out halfway across the country and being involved in such a big to-do.
Carter Gymnasium. You know, you're talking, 1,200 maybe?
If everybody's getting really close.
I remember when we played at Carter because we were so good. There would be lines around. There'd be 200 people outside in line waiting to get in way before the game started. But now, when you leave Carter Gymnasium and South Lenoir and Jones County, and you go to a 16,000-seat arena, and maybe more than that now, but it seems like it was something like that when we're there. And, you know, you got the great big doors at each end of the thing. You feel a breeze. It was on top of a hockey rink.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you get depth perception problems because, you know, you play at Carter Gym and the wall was right behind the goal.
Right.
And then this sits out there in the middle of nothing. You know, you don't have any, no walls on each side. It's almost like you see them play on a ship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just very different than what you're used to. You know, we didn't play in many big gyms when I was at Campbell.
Was that one the biggest adjustment to playing in the building, just that perception around it?
And, well, you get a cool breeze blowing through there, you know, because the great big doors on each end. You're playing in March, so it's still cool. So it's like playing outside,
wow,
to be honest with you. But it was interesting, and I thought we did pretty good.
Well, the only unseeded team to reach the finals in every ways, and some of the teams that you beat along the way were incredible.
And Jack Sigmund played.
Absolutely, who later played for the Seattle Supersonics.
For years, sure did, yeah.
Don, I was just looking through the record books to prepare for this, and over your career, you were one of six players who ended up with over 1,000 career points during that time. Sam Staggers, Danny Gaither, John Hextall, Wayne Sanford, Marshall Lovett. And then add in the fact Don Laird, Randy Yates, tremendous basketball players for Campbell who didn't reach that plateau. How did Coach Roberts put all this talent together?
He says that I was his best recruit ever. He said, meaning that, you know, I wasn't recruited very. But no, I actually walked on, to be honest with you. But he always says that. I don't know. I guess when you're from a small area, you don't want your competitions like.
Mm-hmm.
Then once you get and start playing against better competition and you see what you've got to do to get better, then you'll make yourself work harder and your work ethics will be a lot better. So I think that's probably what got me where it did. So I was playing with some good players too. That makes a difference.
Absolutely. I feel like if I'm playing golf with people that I'm not as good as, it kind of makes you
better
focus a little bit more. Don, your sister Sharon followed you to Campbell. What was it like having her around?
Oh, she looked a good athlete too. She played basketball and softball at Campbell. And I think she graduated with honors in 3 years and played basketball and softball. So, you know, she's just a hard worker. She's still working today. She runs an industry full of lines out here. And, you know, but she was just a very good athlete.
During your time at Campbell, the Campbell basketball school was probably in its heyday. And the players would work during the summertime, and you'd get a chance to compete against not only your teammates, but some of the better basketball players in the country. What were some of your memories of the camp, and who were some of the players you came across in those counselors' games that you remember?
Like you said, you get to learn what your competition's like. You find out that, you know, you've really got to work hard to get to where they are. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're a little bit more talented than you are, but you've got to work really hard. But we had all of the Maryland players. Well, not all of them, but Tom Zalagaris, I don't know if you remember him.
Mm-hmm.
He played at Carolina. He and I were pretty good buddies
right.
at the schools. Terry Holland, who was at, I think we were Coates High School. You know, they used to bus everybody.
Absolutely. 16 gyms around the county and surrounding counties.
And Terry Holland tried to get me to transfer to Virginia, believe it or not. But I said, I'm home to stay. I'm at Campbell to stay.
And maybe John Lucas might have been there during your time as well, because Lefty Drizel would come down from Maryland and speak.
Yeah, and Press Maravich was there, and Pistol Pete was there.
So. Absolutely.
And what was the guy's name that went to Cameron, had a shoe company?
Oh, George Lehman. He was the retired professional player and worked for Pro Keds. He was the shooting demonstration.
Yeah, give you an example. We had that synthetic floor
mm-hmm.
at Carter Gymnasium. I used to run those cloth tennis shoes.
Oh, yes.
The first day we had practice, I ran out of 3 pair of those cloth tennis shoes. And at that time was when George was getting the pro kids started.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to leather shoes.
Right.
But we'd have had to say, and I don't know if it was the floor or what, but they would tear at the seams.
Oh, my gracious. Our guest on Tales from the Creek today is Don Whaley, class of 1977, basketball All-American and Campbell Hall of Fame member. Don, after graduation, you had some opportunities to play professionally. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I ended up going to Canada and play a year. And I was a second leading scorer in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a second leading scorer on my team. In Canada, you could only have 2 Americans.
Right.
And Warren Killian, who played at Kearney State,
mm-hmm.
was my teammate. The first game I played with him, I didn't play the first part of the year. I met them in Toronto, mm-hmm. Toronto, Canada. Mm-hmm. And he put me in the starting lineup the first game. At that time, there were 7-7 because it was just beginning of January. They were 7-7. We ended up 31-10 and made it to the national championship games. But the first game I played with Lauren, he scored 41 points and missed 1 shot.
Oh, my goodness.
So, while I was there, I was offered to Brussels, Belgium. I was offered a contract mm-hmm. to Brussels, Belgium. Well, about that time, I fell in love.
Okay.
With a Kester girl and waxed my situation back and forth to see if I might determine to go, but I think love got me. So I ended up staying in Kinston. And I was offered tryout with the Dallas Cowboys and also the Seattle Seahawks. But I was just lovesick, homesick, so I stayed around home.
You know, and it's kind of interesting, in Belgium, I'm sure that your buddy Sam Staggers might have given your name to someone, but, you know, Sam graduates from Campbell, goes to play in Belgium and falls in love there. And that's what kept him there for all these years and coaching and after his long playing career. So, the heartstrings will pull strong on that. I'm just curious about NFL tryouts and maybe I shouldn't be because we've seen some instances where college basketball players who might've played some high school basketball, or high school football, end up in the NFL lately. Antonio Gates, that played college basketball at Bowling Green, I believe it was, ends up as a tight end for the San Diego Chargers. And there's been a couple of other instances like that. But, you know, in those pre-internet, video available of everybody in the world stages, how do you get to an NFL tryout camp after not playing football for 4 or 5 seasons?
I think what happens is, I wasn't ever told this, but it seems like that's what happened, was they have scouts everywhere, mm-hmm. and not as much back then as they do now, but they look for athletes.
Right.
And they look for your size versus what position they may put you at.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I understood it was, I'm 6'3", which is a good height for a wide receiver.
Absolutely.
I could run 100 in probably 10, 2 or 3, you know. And at that time, I weighed about 190, so I wasn't small. And I got led, like I said, for Seattle Seahawks and from Dallas Cowboys, which are, you know, a long ways from Campbell. So they got the word somewhere that I was a pretty good athlete, I guess.
And at that time, they were on the opposite ends of the competitive spectrum. The Seahawks had just started up, I believe, in 1976. And the Cowboys, of course, back in the 70s were, you know, America's team with Roger Staubach and all those guys coming through there. You know, sometimes you would think, oh, well, this team that's an expansion team, they're just looking for anybody. But when you get a letter from a team that's arguably one of the best teams, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers were probably the team of the 70s, maybe, but or the Miami Dolphins. But that speaks highly of your athletics reputation. So you finish playing professional sports, you come back to Kinston. Tell us a little bit about what life looked like, you know, in your post-competitive or days.
I don't know if I should say this, but I got into the bar business. I opened a bar up in Kinston, but I went into environmental health.
Right.
I stayed in environmental health for 20 years, working around with North County, and I ended up going to Greene County and working 7 years. And after those years, you have to be registered environmental health specialist to do that work. So you have to go through a lot of classes and other than what I already had from Campbell. And after 20 years or so of that, I was in a bad car accident in Snow Hill, a head-on collision, of which 4 people out of 5 in another vehicle died.
No, dear.
The driver fell asleep, hit his head on. And so I was out of work for a while, so I decided to go in a different direction, and I went into real estate
business. Okay.
And bought several mobile home parks and stuff like that. I had 700 rental spaces and about 40 rental units of my own, so I did that for several years. And then after that, I kind of retired somewhat. And you know, I dated, I don't know if you remember, young girls that went to North Carolina State, Kay Faye Young.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Kay was married to Bill Cowher.
Right.
And she and I dated through college and several years, so she occupied a lot of my time as well. But
I understand that for years you were heavily involved in pickup basketball. And I just, about a year ago, I sat down with Bobby Etheridge, who played at Campbell and through his class of 65. And in his early 80s, Bob still gets together and plays some half-court basketball one night a week with a bunch of friends. I guess when you keep on going, it doesn't hurt that much when you, you stayed involved with the game.
Well, yeah, we played a lot of tournament ball. We, you know, Rocky Mount, Raleigh, Wilson, Kinston, all over we played. With Chris Thompson, who played with Cedric Maxwell, and Kenny Baker and some more local guys. And we were pretty good. I mean, what was the team that always played, that was always on the road playing semi-pro, gas company?
Oh, yeah, Marathon Oil. They would show up in a lot of the preseason games, guys trying to maybe catch on with a professional team somewhere or overseas, right?
Yeah, so I thought we were as good as they were. So,
wow.
Oh, yeah, we were really good. We had guys from North Carolina State played for us. Mark Dale played with us and went to Wake Forest. And Schellenberg.
Right. Jerry Schellenberg. Boy, Schellenberg. He could shoot. He plays in the backcourt with Skip Brown over there at Wake Forest.
That's right. We had some pretty good teams.
Holy cow. Now, I'm curious about in the 80s, you touched on it a little bit earlier, but your softball team. So was it a regional team or what? Y'all would end up an all-star team that would go to a national tournament?
What happens is they have classes of softball. Mm-hmm. And back then they had the A, B, C, and D. Now, locally, we put together a team and start out playing class C ball.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, it didn't have D. C was the lowest you could compete in. Well, what happens is if you start going to all the class C tournaments and winning them all, they move you up to B. Now, the higher you get, the less teams there are.
Right.
Because there's not that many good players. So we went to class B. Well, we started beating our class B teams. So they moved us to class A. And we were playing with Ray Barbie, who runs the Lenore Tire Company over here, used to, he's soon now. And we went to Virginia and won the Class A Worlds. And so what that did was gave us a spot in the best 12 softball teams in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So we went up going to California to play. And we actually went to California twice to compete. We finished fifth 1 year and fourth 1 year. So they were the 12 best teams in the country.
Don, a little over a decade ago, you faced some real severe physical challenges. Do you feel like your training, lifelong training as an athlete and the work ethic you learned growing up on the farm helped you in that case? Or tell us a little bit about your journey there.
I've always thought that the athletics, being in very good shape like I was, probably did help me through that situation. My tolerance was probably better than, it would have been. But anyone that goes through cancer and goes through radiation and chemotherapy, I feel for them because it is a tough situation. And I've had a friend of mine that's been through it twice, and he's still here. But yes, it's a challenge, a big challenge.
1992, Campbell inducts you into its Athletics Hall of Fame. A couple of years ago, 2023, you're inducted into the Kinston Lenore County Sports Hall of Fame with many of those folks that we've talked about earlier in there. What do those honors mean to you, Don?
Well, you feel like what you've done all these years, the lifting the weights, getting up at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, train. On the bus today, you don't have enough time to do your homework because you get out of class at 3, you're at practice at 3:30. Mm-hmm. You get through just in time to make it to the cafeteria before they close.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you're tired. You got to go home now and or go to the dorm and do homework. It just feels like it's rewarding because you feel like what you've worked for so hard is finally paying off. And I really do think that it makes you a better person. It makes you work harder. Your ethics are better. And just overall, it meant a great deal to me, a great deal.
Finally, Don, can you put to words how Campbell University and the Buies Creek community impacted your life?
I wouldn't change anything. Everyone says, Campbell was a small school. Size doesn't mean anything, really. The community was great to us. Coach Roberts, couldn't have a better coach. The players I played with, the community was highness. Carter Gymnasium was packed every time we played. Standing room only. Actually, they called it Snake Pit because mm-hmm. no one could beat us there. I think we lost 2 games in 3 years at Campbell. So experience could be no better. I wouldn't change it for anything in the world. It was great.
I'm Stan Cole. And our guest today on Tales from the Creek has been Campbell Hall of Fame basketball player Don Whaley. Thank you, Don, for sharing your Tales from the Creek.